I am so excited that for 2024, Your Brand Amplified is proudly sponsored by one of my favorite platforms, Simplified. This AI-driven platform is a game changer for design and video content. With Simplified, I can effortlessly transform lengthy videos, such as my podcast, into engaging, shareable clips and streamline workflows with an intuitive subtitle generator. For designers out there, you can explore the AI-powered image generator, create compelling presentations, and design eye-catching YouTube thumbnails with ease. Revolutionize your creative process at simplify.com with a free trial. Now let's dive into today's guest.
Welcome to Your Brand Amplified, the podcast where we interview marketers, publicists, and brands to learn their stories, what makes them tick, and tips and tricks that make a difference.
I am super thrilled today to have Brad Axelrad on the show. Brad, you have such an amazing background, producing live events, hosting a celebrity interview podcast yourself, and helping people really understand who they are, which is such, I would say, the most important construct we have in your personal, professional life today with Face Your Dragon. And what a fabulous name that is, too.
Thank you.
Yeah. So let's talk first about how you discovered that this was your passion and what you wanted to help elevate people in the world with.
It is. You know, most of the time my response to that is massive pain and finally realizing that things could be different and that I wanted them to be different. You know, we hit that sort of enough is enough. What, where and how can I make shifts and changes? And for me, that sort of defining moment that really changed the trajectory of what I said was the grave of self-indulgence, meaning I was living the high life, living in Newport Beach, investing in real estate, all the things, the fixings of what we think are success, the cars, right, the homes, the food, the blah, 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 the travel. But it wasn't working anymore. It just wasn't fulfilling. And the feather was tickling. And I ignored the feather long enough. The brick hit me upside the head. I shook that off. I was like, oh, you know, because I'm tough and resilient like so many of us entrepreneurs. But the Mack truck came and finally took me out. And that was my dad passing in 2005. And that changed everything. I knew something was coming. And then that was it. And that was like, okay, this is it. Something, how can I be of service, like truly in service? And yeah, that was the beginning.
It's so fascinating to hear what people's pinnacle moments are, right? What is that moment that is you can no longer ignore? Because I think a lot of times we ignore our gut feeling, our instincts, and we just say, no, I'm on the right path. I'm doing the right things. I'm doing what society tells me I'm supposed to be doing. And I can't tell you the number of guests, because I've had some younger guests on recently who are early 20s who've had massive financial success. Yet when they come on the podcast, yeah, they'll talk about that, but they really want to talk about how they're not feeling whole inside. And wow, they don't know now whether people appreciate them for their money and their cars and all the things, the trappings that they have, which, you know, kind of chicken and egg, like they built up a little success, bought something to show off, to show success, which got them more success. But now they're like, wow, I don't know if my relationships are real. Like, I don't know if they're authentic. And so I imagine, I know I've had to go through this process multiple times, and we go through reinventions, right? So I'd love to hear what happened after your pinnacle moment. And when you had to kind of sit down and go, okay, wait, I need to make a shift.
Yeah, I'd love to share that. I mean, that was the moment I finally faced my dragon. And like I said, the grave of self-indulgence. And that name actually came from Mark Victor Hansen's daughter, the Chicken Soup for the Soul. She and I were friends living in Orange County. And, you know, Mark was an Orange County guy for a long time. And we crafted my first message, and that was it. It was like that whole all leading up to that. And then I could just remember being wailing on my floor in the hallway in my condo and just bawling like I've never felt so much grief and intensity in my life. And at that same moment, it was like, this is it. I can't keep doing what I'm doing. Like, something has to change, and I'm really ready to be in service. Like, use me. I don't want to die like my dad did with his voice still in him and just so much unlived potential and freedom. Like, there was always, you could tell something was keeping him trapped.
Wow.
And I later learned that that was clairsentient, you know, the ability to be psychic and to feel and to know. And that's plagued me for a long time. Your greatest gift is often your greatest challenge. It's wrapped in the same thing, right? And so I watched him suffer with that. But there was, I'm getting chills right now. Like, there was no way I was going to live another day without being in service somehow, truly dedicated. I'm like, God, please. I don't tend to pray to God. I have. And it was just, please use me, I'm ready. And it's in those moments, and that one in particular, I knew everything was going to be different. So what could I do? And at that moment, I was actually the Orange County Hoffman Institute graduate facilitator. I don't know if you know the Hoffman process, probably. My favorite work on the planet, hoffmaninstitute.org. It's just brilliant, deep work up in Northern California. It's around the world, but in Northern California. Anyway, I knew I wanted to actually share something outside of the Hoffman principles, even though those are absolutely brilliant. Mm-hmm. And a friend handed me the book, Ask and It Is Given, The Teachings of Abraham. I'm sure you've been through that one, and many that are watching this have been through that. And right about then, the law of attraction started getting really circulating a lot. We all jumped into that. We were excited about that. Long story short, within 8 weeks of starting a book study group on Ask and It Is Given, we are on NBC Nightly News. So bang, like I dropped a press release with a friend that I met at Hoffman. I knew something was going to be different. And that led to PBS Television and USC News and LA Times, Orange County Register, CBC News, Canada, like all these. Just next thing you know, I'm this event producer producing events discussing the law of attraction and quantum physics. And that was it. I was one of the largest producers of events of its kind in Southern California for a long time. I was producing these weekly and monthly events. And it was amazing. I'm just, you know, grieving in front of this audience of 200 people at some evenings. And in my process, learning to be a speaker, learning to be an event producer, just in massive grief, but having the flow of God channeling through me, knowing that this was my dharma to be doing this. So it's in those moments of great despair. And when we're really asking, I want to say this last piece about what I think is a little incorrect about the law of attraction and like attracts like and frequency. I get all that stuff. It's brilliant. However, what I've noticed, it's when we're in those moments of intense asking that things show up. It doesn't matter your frequency. None of this high vibes only bullshit. It's just you attract with intensity. When you're ready and you're in alignment and God's ready, it's boom. There it is.
Well, I have so many things that I agree with you on, and I love this conversation. Because when I moved back to LA from Houston in 2019, part of my journey was I left a business there. I didn't know what I was going to do. I'm not very employable because I've done a lot of different things. And so I was like, what box do I fit into? And I had to go out. It was like a full moon, December 2019. I was about to go on a trip back east with my boyfriend to Philly to meet his family. And I just looked up at the full moon and I said, it's in your hands. I've done everything I can. I've applied everywhere. You know, I know I want to move back into just PR and marketing. And that's what my path was then. It's all up to you. And at that moment, then I got a phone call the next week with a job. Right. And then that turned into me having a full PR firm with multiple employees and stuff during the pandemic and making some mistakes, of course. But I love that you said that, right? It's in those moments when you really ask and you're really like, I've done the work, but it's not, because that's what sometimes people forget about the law of attraction and asking an abundance mentality and manifestation is you can't just ask. You also have to have done the work, the inner work. You have to take action to show that you're ready, right? And asking is an action.
Yeah. I'm just feeling into that as you're talking. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
So much. Yes. So the asking, the intentional aligned action is key. You know, a lot of people bagged on The Secret and said, no, they don't talk about action. They actually did a lot. Mm. You need to really, when you get that intuitive nudge, act. And that's it. It's really listening to that nudge and then and asking and moving, right? It's like having the courage to move, facing and moving into your fear. Fear means go. Like, I'm afraid. Go that way. Perfect. Yeah.
Wow. So let's talk about, you produced all these events. What was your next phase? I also know you are the co-founder or founding member of the Association of Transformational Leaders, Southern California, and also started a version in Costa Rica.
Yeah, I'm super blessed. I produced an event in 2010 with names you guys might know. Like I had Michael Gerber, the author of E-Myth, leading a strategy panel, and Mickey Willis, Elevate Films, major, major people there. Ali Brown, Blair Singer, the co-author of Rich Dad Poor Dad. But I put all my favorite people in this. We rented the whole third floor at the Westin Long Beach, and I had Prosper Now, this event. And so I had invited Mari Smith. You might know Mari Smith. She's big in social media for a long time. One of the pioneers of being a social media sort of the face of social media, not an influencer, even though she is that. And I invited Mari to lead the panel, one of the other panels, opposite of Michael Gerber. and she couldn't make it. And so she invited me. She said, Brad, you should probably come to this thing. Come check it out. And I had only missed one meeting, and I'm so honored to have been invited into that. And the Association of Transformational Leaders, it's the likes of Jack Canfield and Don Miguel Ruiz and all these cool, amazing leaders. We all know some of the original folks that were involved in LifeSpring and EST and way back transformational leaders, like true transformational leaders for 40 years, not the new millennials that are out there making millions like we're talking about, spitting off amazing stuff and great reels and things, but like deep transformational work. And yeah, so I've been a member since 2010. So we get together twice a year, and then we laugh and cry and heal and do the real work there, you know, the deep work. It's the place that we come to recharge our batteries, because we're all doing the work out in the world. And I'd moved to Costa Rica, and I was missing that connection with transformational leaders. Costa Rica is a little different. It's a little more flowy, kind of ayahuasca, let's beat drums, go to farmers markets. I mean, I love the people there, don't get me wrong, but I was just missing that like deep, let's do the work. And so I raised my hand to start the Costa Rica chapter and enrolled a couple people to co-found it with me. And it was another great growth and opportunity for growth. I'll just say it that way.
Wow. So what does life look like for you today?
Currently in Playa del Carmen, Mexico, living the winters here. And the girlfriend and I will be starting our nomad journey in the next couple weeks here as we move to Mexico City and then off to the States for the summer. And then probably Tulum next winter for a couple months, and then off to Asia for a couple months. That's the goal. All the while, we're both working on our computers. We're in service and contribution. And, you know, I've launched the Get Beyond podcast, the podcast guesting service that we had discussed quickly. But mostly, I'm focused on building automated businesses that create the biggest impact for the least amount of stress and effort.
Well, that is everybody's goal, right?
Yes.
So how are you doing that? Are you working with people who know that they have an idea, but they're not quite sure how to get their message out, how to create their systems? Are you working with people who've already maybe done some, but are ready to take it to the next level? Like, who's your ideal avatar? What does that look like?
Yeah, all the above. But I do want to say this. I mean, I'm all over the place as consultant, and that hat comes on. I was just recently the COO of the Independent National Convention, the political party. I should say culmination of multiple independent parties in Austin a year ago. It's actually coming up in July again. So I get pulled into some really cool projects as, you know, consultant, COO, CMO kind of guy. But my sweet spot is really thought leaders. I should say my heart is really connected with people that want to share a message. They've been through their hero's journey. They've got their elixir. They're ready to come back and share their unique transformation. And oftentimes they're stuck somewhere. We have these blocks, or what I call dragons, their fears. And those quickly are imposter, scarcity, value, unheard, and critics. Mm-hmm. So tend to really get people clear on which dragon they're wanting to ride, which one is preventing them from really getting out there in the world. And then, yeah, helping them build the business based around leveraging their unique fear. So for example, you would never know this, but public speaking was my greatest fear. And I've produced over 200 live events. I've spoken on 300 plus virtual and live stages. And no, that's not fear. That's excitement, as my friend used to say. And it's really about recognizing that fear is your friend. It's your gift. It's your purpose. It's your moneymaker. That's a lot of the work I do, is sort of cultivating that energy and using that as your fuel to really share a big message out there.
Nice. Yeah. And I imagine it looks different for every person you work with. Do you have like a program people can go through, or do you just really assess, like you said, what's your dragon? What's the action we need to take? How are we going to get your mindset shifted? And then let's go.
Well, I have Courage into Clients, which is a full, you know, 40 plus course module area. And there's one-on-one and some group stuff too. But really, I don't want to get too much into the nuts and bolts. I want to stay up here and state that, look, there's many ways to access our unique gifts and face our dragon. And that could be plant medicine. It could be the Hoffman process. It could be other seminars. It could be bungee jumping for you. Whatever it is, whatever we're most resisting and most afraid of are the very things that are going to set us free. I say that a lot on the Face Your Dragon podcast. You know, even launching a podcast is a way to face your fear. Like you know, Don Miguel Ruiz of the Four Agreements was guest number one on my show. Like, I, you know, I had J.P. Sears and Ariel Ford and major names on it. Yeah. Gay Hendricks. just incredible people. And I'll tell you what, when I turned record on that thing, I'm like, who am I to be, you know, introducing Michael Gerber on my stage or Don Miguel Ruiz? Or we have to lean in. There's that moment we have to just chills again. I don't normally get chills three times in an interview. You're getting them out of me. So that's that moment we need to lean in. And that's the opportunity for us, you guys. It's like, what are you most resisting and most afraid of? For me, it was public speaking, mortified of it. That set me free. So whatever you're most resisting and most afraid of, go there.
Yeah. Yeah. There's so many things I want to talk to you about.
Cool.
And one of them is that I teach branding, right? I teach it to like clients like Red Bull. I do workshops on personal professional branding. I teach PR and branding to grad students. But what I realized recently, and I'm sure this is a lot of what you're seeing now too, is yes, we know that all these things that people think of as just kind of a spiritual world have existed, but there's such a connection now with people in the business world leaning into who they truly are. And one thing that recently happened for me was I realized that the way I was trying to teach branding was really from figuring out who you are on the inside and then living your life with your purpose, vision, and mission values at the forefront. So then you knew, okay, this job is not for me. Yes, they're paying really well or they have the title that I want, but that culture is not going to be my fit. Or whatever the case may be, because of course I work with a lot of grad students and so they're facing these issues right now. But I recently met a former Zen monk who,
nice. And
when we met, it was kind of the same thing as meeting you. Like I also have chills talking to you. We said, oh, I've been trying to teach what you teach, but through the construct of branding and marketing, because that's my background. But you're the Zen monk who has this other way of looking at it. And so let's put this together. So I'm actually studying under him right now. And we're working on how do we really get his message out to the world in a massive way, because it's very transformational. It's really wonderful. So I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah. You and I are going to be in touch. We're going to have a lot more conversations after this. But
for sure. How many years was he a monk?
He was for 9 years.
Wow.
Yeah. And then he decided he needed to get back into the real world, that he needed to get more degrees. There were other lessons he needed to learn and other ways to share the information. Yeah. But it's just.
I felt.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Sorry, I felt called down from the mountaintop too. I was in the mountains of Boulder doing plant medicine like 150 times, just deep and trying to find the message. Well, what's face your way? You know, and I found Face Your Dragon. That was where it happened about 10 years ago. But I get it. There comes a point where it's like we need to come out of the cave and we can't just sit and meditate and be in our own experience having these incredible, you know, connections. We need to come back and serve. And that was why I moved back from Colorado back to Southern California. I didn't feel I could be in service there and more. How do I say this? More people needed the help than the people in Boulder and Denver. They're pretty awake there. And I was like, I need to get back down to the land of the 3Ds.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
World.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Amazing. And you're able to do this work from anywhere. So that's awesome. So do people usually find you? They resonate with the messages that you're sharing, or they come in because they know somebody else who's worked with you? That's my first question. The second question is, have you ever had to turn down a client because they're not really coming from the place that they should be?
Well, I'm going to answer the second one first. I've taken on clients that I shouldn't have, and you learn pretty quickly. You know, I thought I could work through that, you know, like now I could make that work. But yes, clients find me from all over the place, you know, but what was happening for me when I moved down here last year, I thought, maybe it's time to launch season two of the Face Your Dragon podcast. Maybe it's time. It's time to interview even cooler people. And I was going to start pulling in people in the political movement, others that I had met through different communities and get in an even different conversation, a little more global conversation around facing your dragon. Are you checking in with the body thing again? I said, should I do season two? And I was like, absolutely not. I don't want to launch a podcast anymore. I'm a no to that for now. I've entertained it about four times along the way in the recent years, and it's just been a no. It's not the right time. It will be at some point.
Yeah.
And with that said, I said, you know what? It's time for me to get on shows. I wanted to just share my message all over the place. So I got pretty clear that I know a lot of ways to market and do things. And I started booking myself on a lot of shows really quickly and figured out this really cool mechanism.
Nice.
And I realized quickly that there was a gap in the marketplace for what we offer. And I turned it in to get me on podcasts pretty quickly. And that's been the new thrust. And I've got 95% of my focus there. So clients come through the exposure of being out there doing that. But more than anything, we're focused on building that platform.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's so important. I've been having this conversation a lot this week about how publicists used to kind of shun podcast bookers. They're like, no, we're not going to work. We don't want your software. We don't want to do this. And now I feel like I'm a very non-traditional publicist because my background was marketing and club promoting, all this other stuff, experiential before I went into PR and brand and all that stuff. And so, you know, I really see you have to have the full integration. And that's what I love about podcasting. And the publicists who are not using podcasting and using podcast software and platforms, they're missing such a big opportunity. And the clients still don't always understand what the opportunity is, but it is just amazing. And even though podcasting is 20 years old, it's still in its infancy, right? It's like,
it's super
huge
infancy.
Breakthrough. Yeah. So
100%. And you know what I say, it's like getting on a podcast is great. And being on, you know, we get people on 5 to 15 shows a month. That's our focus. And that's a good cadence. We were getting people on like 30 a month. It was just too much. So we found the right amount. And the point is that, you know, getting on the shows is great. They share it all over the place on all of their social channels and YouTube and Spotify and SoundCloud and iTunes. Like, they're sharing your message. But what's even bigger is the networking opportunity with all the people around the world. Like, that's what I think you're kind of alluding to. There's so much ancillary benefit to communicating with these podcast hosts. They can become clients. You know, you may get on their show. They may get on yours if you have one. There's just so much opportunity there. It's been really cool.
Yeah. Well, it's also, you have content for your social media, for your blog posts, for to share on LinkedIn. There's so many different ways in your newsletter. There's so many ways to share it. If an episode did really well, you can boost it and make it an advertisement.
Totally.
So that, and then I get to learn. I get educated every single day from every single one of my guests. There's something I pull out that I can then go back to and I'll write it down and then I'll go back and listen to the episodes when they come out. Right. And then I'm like, oh, this guest really inspired me. I'm so glad I listened to this episode again today. And it's fun. And I mean, that's kind of geeky probably, but and the relationships. Yeah. Oh my gosh. I have this huge network that I never would have had otherwise. So yeah.
I miss interviewing people too, but I feel that it's kind of time to flip the switch and just be in interview mode. And then really what's the another big benefit? I'll share this little piece too. I think it's really good. You practice your message. You're, you know, right now I'm like, oh, I could have said that different or better, or So you're getting it in the muscle. It becomes unconsciously competent to where you meet someone important. You're like, well, what do you do? Or how'd you get here? And it just comes right off so much easier and faster by, you know, practicing on lots of podcasts.
100%. Yeah. When I'm working with somebody who's still finding their voice, right, and isn't very comfortable, I'll sometimes get them into small magazines, small podcasts to start so they can do exactly what you're saying, practice the message. I was speaking to a woman yesterday about that, and she's trying to find her personal brand because she's an exec at a travel industry company. And she's trying to figure out her what next, because she doesn't want to move too far up the ladder because she has family and people that are important to her. But she wants to figure out what she's going to do. And she's like, how do I figure out my personal brand? I was like, well, I have a whole bunch of videos you can watch and worksheets you can do and free workshops that I do once a month. But you should also, let me send you a couple of things that you can start. You can do little interviews, and answering those questions will also really help shape what your message really is and how you want to resonate. Right?
It's good.
I can talk about this stuff forever because I just love geeking out on it. I can tell you too. So
yeah, another thing I've done similar to that is business is a sequence. We need to be mindful to build in a sequence, right? You know, we don't want to skip to step 20. We've got 1 to 20 we need to focus on first. But one thing that I'll sometimes do to do similar to what you were saying there to echo it is like, okay, well, what's the container of the house, the website? Like, what needs to be on the site? Who are you? You know, what do you sell? Like, just sort of create the frame and then, you know, go out and try it. Well, what do you do? I'll catch people off guard. Tell me what you do. Practicing the what you do statements, that forces it out. But you're right. If you get clear enough, get on a bunch of podcasts and it'll come up. You'll be surprised by the things that you share, either pleasantly or you know, very frightened by the things you say. You know.
Wow. So how has that gone, shifting your energy, right, from the live events and transformation and really working with, you still have the modules and working with clients, but now you're really shifting, like you said, 95% of your time into helping people use their voices and get heard by the right people. Is a bit an easy transition to change your business model?
Yeah, we need to pivot. And that's something I want to say. Don't be afraid to pivot. Like back to your point about either accepting a client or not accepting a client, same thing. It's like if you're, I like to say, was it Alex Mendozian that said, don't run enthusiastically in the wrong direction. Now, Alex has done almost $1 billion in sales online in the last 25, 30 years. He's an animal. If you guys don't know who he is, he's one of the old marketers from back in the day. But we need to course correct. We need to have the courage to say, okay, maybe this isn't working. I'm going over here. And we oftentimes will stay in situations because they're familiar, even though they're the wrong situation, whatever it is. And it's important to try new things and to fail and have the courage to fail. But no, it wasn't at all. It was a freedom focused and also a very God channeled thing. Like it was like, do this, Brad. And I my girlfriend and I said, mark my words, this is going to be huge. And it's just been great ever since. So we've got to listen to those intuitive nudges, like in The Secret, and take action when there's a line nudges, like go, go, go. And so I've just been full speed ahead. But as I mentioned early on, removing myself from the business, creating an automated situation. So that's what we're really focusing on, and creating a, you know, software as a service model at some level that will remove the need for people.
Yeah.
So that's exciting more than anything. I'm just trying to free myself up from a lot of things just in general.
Yeah, I think we all are. And I will say pivoting to podcasting full time and being a professor part time has been a huge shift for me in the past few months. And the finances aren't there yet to take me back to my full-time job, right? But I see them. I see where it's going to come. But I also have to do the work and put the right team in place. So I'm not doing like automatic systems necessarily. I mean, a little bit. But I have now an admin who does so much of the work to free up my time to be able to do other stuff. Right? I have an amazing editor. But I know it can be really difficult to figure out in the whole scheme of ad tech and martech solutions, which number in the hundreds of thousands, if not millions, which ones are the right solutions. So if somebody who's listening is like, okay, I want to know how Brad automates things, of course, not your secret sauce with your podcasting,
yep.
Are there other programs out there, other solutions that you think you must have this one versus this one? Or, you know, if it's a CRM or Slack or what have you?
Yeah, I don't want to get in the weeds. I think we need to stay up here. I think everybody needs to read the 4-hour work week, as aged as that is, read that thing 20 times. Okay, so start with understanding how to build and outsource. And that also brings me back to Michael Gerber, E-Myth. He was all about systems. If you haven't read that, maybe you have. So those are the two books I would almost, that and The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks, who was guest number 2 on my podcast. Like if you're going to read any book, start there. Okay, so that's going to give you the foundational components to understand the sort of thinking of round systems and outsourcing and sourcing teams. Where do you find the people?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the four, and then noticing that you may sabotage with The Big Leap. You know, we hit this upper limit. He talks about this glass ceiling, and will manifest a problem either in relationships, finance, or physical health.
Interesting.
Once we can't feel good for too long before we have to fuck it up somehow. That's what we do. We hit this thing and then we got to screw it up. So again, back to the mindset piece, understanding these parts first, right? Okay, now we could get down and chunk down more into the great, what are the nuts and bolts pieces, whether it's ClickFunnels or something else, right? But I'm just enjoying Slack a lot. I've used Asana a lot. Slack's been super powerful for me. I live in Google Drive.
Me too.
By now, everybody's probably using those things, you know, and I... Can I say, I just selfishly want to remove myself from and create the most scaled possibilities in any business at this point. Meaning, how can I get out of the way, create all these systems and use all this tech and outsource as much and build team and mobilize team and get team excited. And like, that's where we should go.
Yeah.
Well, I have a question for you. Did you say you are 100% out of all the things with the exception of podcast? And was it teaching? Were those the two things you said?
Those are my two main drivers. I am very, very, very part-time for an agency, which means pretty much we have curriculums that we've co-created on marketing and AI and branding. And so I help deliver those, and I'll step in sometimes if there's a new proposal or whatever. But I realized, and it's funny, I'm chuckling at myself because you said we never can be just content. Something happens with our health, our money, or whatever. And my health was the problem. And I said, okay, I can't put this much focus into this company when I have to solve this. And if I can at least fix my sleep, fix my health, you know, and have time for my family, even if I'm making less money, I know that I'll also open up the opportunity for more money to flow in doing these things that I'm really passionate about. So I teach grad school at USC Annenberg, and I have a podcast and speaker series there. And then I have this podcast. And those are the, and then I'm studying with the Zen monk, Alan Knight, right now. You know, and I have a few other projects, but that these are my main focal points at this point. So cool. Have conversations cool. with amazing people like you. So
thank you. Awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And I appreciate the books that you're recommending, because I think a lot of people listening maybe haven't picked those up for a while, including myself. I'm like, oh, The E-Myth Revisited. Yes, I have all these books, but it's been a little while, so maybe I need a refresher myself. So, yeah.
If you want to listen to the Face Your Dragon podcast, you can see them just on the website, faceyourdragonpodcast.com. But there's so many amazing people in there that have great books that could be a good reread for sure.
Fantastic. Yeah. And that's something I like to do, is I belong to a book club that's more about manifestation and abundance, you know, other stuff too. But the founder of this book club, she reads a chapter every few days, every week. So I can listen to it as a podcast, and or I can read or listen to the book, depending on how much time I have. But at least I'm getting some of the material, and then I can say, okay, yes, I'm going to revisit that. Let me now invest more time and energy there. So there are a lot of ways to get great material these days that we need to take advantage of. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to recommend another book, I think, knowing that you're studying with Alan, I think you said his name was Blue Truth by David Data, is a fan. I led a book study group on Blue Truth, and also The Big Leap. Those were two that and Asking It Is Given initially 10, 12 years prior. But Blue Truth, amazing book, fantastic book. It's short. They're short 4 or 5 page chapters, and they're
nice.
You know, really based on kind of Buddhism and non-attachment philosophy, basically. Yeah.
I would say that your life today, definitely, I love that you shared your story arc with us and getting from one very different life than what you lead today. And I think you are a testament to not having attachment, right, to all of the items, the physical, and really being able to be fully present where you are and who you're with and be like really happy with that. So
thank you. Received that. Yeah. And I have my days, you know, but that is my highest commitment, is to what you just shared, for sure. That's my North Star.
Thank you. So we're going to direct people to faceyourdragon.com, where they can find out about everything you do and more about you. And there's a quote that you have on the website. There's no worse a life lived than one where we die with our voice still inside of us. I can tell that that is really something you live by, and it really resonates with me. But I also want to ask, are there any other words that are coming up to you right now? Words, phrases, verses, mottos that you'd like to share?
Yeah. Well, I want to speak to that quote. And that was really what came through, like I said, when I was wailing, trying to find my voice. And it's like, I was afraid to speak up for a long time. I felt like my throat chakra was closed. And if any of you can relate to that, like, it's like, God, I want to speak. But then I wouldn't for a long time. And then it would just come bursting out, you know, kind of that male anger instead of communication or sharing wisdom. Like, so that channel opened up at some point. But it was really scary. You know, it's scary to speak up sometimes. And I get that you're probably like me at this point. You don't have a problem speaking up. I, I don't get that. And I don't either. Right. But for the longest time I did, and it was really hard. And so that just notice that in your body and just try to love that aspect of yourself where you're, you know, it's okay, you know, get through that. But the quote that I've always loved is from Joseph Campbell, "The cave you fear to enter holds the treasure you seek." And there's just such great power in there. And Barnett Bain at episode 4 talks about, you know, there's this dragon in the corner and, you know, it's dark and there's, you know, it's dark. You can't see, this dragon's in there and you're in this small room with this dragon. And he goes, just turn the light on, you know, just turn the light on. There we go. It's not so scary. Everyone's okay. So, you know, but there's great power in that place we're afraid to go. That's where it is.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. This has been such an inspiring conversation. I'm getting chills. Thank you so much, Brad, for being on the show and sharing your experience, your journey, your words of affirmation and inspiration with the Your Brand Amplified audience.
It's my honor. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And thank you to everybody who's watching or listening to this episode. I'll be back again tomorrow with another amazing guest to share their journey.
Want more? Check out amplifywithannika.com or follow me on socials at amplifywithannika.
As we close out today's episode, I want to thank Simplified again for making it possible. For all marketers and creators out there, Simplified is your ally in effortlessly crafting on-brand content with a design and video AI. Discover how AI can enhance your creative process at simplify.com. Start for free and elevate your content game. Thanks for listening, and here's to your next creative breakthrough.